front of you, you'll notice that Siddur D'Zimra, the man mentioned, has three elements to it, Baruch Shama, Asher, and Yishabah. But prior to that, we have the Ovdei Yashir. Now, you'll notice that some, I think I mentioned this at the end, if I'm not mistaken. I'll just mention two of these nekudos that are very significant. One is that, where does Ovdei Yashir end? Where's the end of Ovdei Yashir? So many contend the end of the Ovdei Yashir is correct. Hashem Yimloch Yom Vod. How do we know that? Because it's repeated twice. In general, the Kalav is something that's repeated twice. That's a sign that we are concluding something. The best example right before that is excellent. The Halalukas end with Kol Anashoma Kaluka Aluka. Says it twice. Why is it repeated twice? That's an indication that the Halalukas section is over. And here also, at the end of Ovdei Yashir, Hashem Yimloch Yom Vod is repeated twice. The Abu Dhrom, one of the Rishonim, writes that. That's what he assumes, and that's the reason for the repetition. And some also have the practice, and I think that's what many do, that they also translate this pasuk. Namely, where is it translated? The Hebrew is translated to Aramaic, the next pasuk. Hashem Malchusei Koyim Li'olam Olomei Olmaya. What does that mean? Hashem, his Malchus, his kingship, Kohen,
rules,
Kohen in the sense of Kayom,
established,
Va'olam Ulomi Olmaya. That's good, the Olam Vod. So that's a translation of the last pasuk of the Ovdei Yashir. Okay, we have a translation into the Targum. Now, after that, we have another series of psukim. Kivosus paro richbo froshalayom. So the question is whether this is considered to be part of the Shira or not. And this is the subject of the Machlokes in the Rabban Ibn Ezra. The Rabban Ibn Ezra have a Machlokes of an argument whether this is considered to be an essential part of the Shira or not. Is it a chelik of the Shira? Or perhaps what we have here is not an integral chelik of the Shira, we have a description of what took place. Namely, what happened in the Shira? Kivasus Paro Berichlo Farosha Vayom. That they obviously, Paro and his chariots came B'toch Hayom. And Vayoshev Hashem Aleim Esmei Hayom. And Hashem inundated them with the waters of the Yam. Uvnei Yisrael Hocho Be'al Vashem Esar Hayom. So essentially what we have here is a description. And this is the subject of Machlokes between the Ramban and Ibn Ezra. Whether this is an integral part of the Shira or not an integral part of the Shira. I think the Minhag Gadol is to say it. If I'm not mistaken, is that what you do? You say Kivasus Paro?
Yeah.
You do, Baruch Hashem. Kibasus Paro Brichlo Farsha Vayom. However, there's a practice that is mentioned in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And it's actually found in Maaseh Rav. The Vilna Gaon did not say these two. Until the Shira is over, Hashem Yimloch Yelavar, Hashem Yimloch Yelavar, nor did the Gaon say the translation into the Targum Aramaic of Hashem Achusei Kol Elmo Me'amaya, nor did he say the Tzukim Kibasus Par Brichla Varshayam, because it's not part of the Shira. It is a postscript, an addendum, a vestigial organ. You get my point. It's not an integral part of the Shira. That's what the Vilna Gaon was of that opinion. And therefore, in Maaseh Rav, you'll see, it's not found. Maaseh Rav, which have all the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon, so these psukim that are added at the end of Ovdei Yashir are not found. So the practice is not to say it, and that's what, it's not found actually in the Torah Shulchan Aruch, it's not found in the Abidrom, which are the Rishonim that actually deal with the Siddur. And it seems that once we say Hashem Nimloch Yom Vod twice, that's the end of the Shira. That's the assumption of many Rishonim. So, because of this issue, there was a practice which is mentioned by Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is a very, very famous Gadol. You undoubtedly are familiar with him, have heard of him.
No, I am.
He also had a Siddur called the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He wrote Shalom Tshuvas, he wrote Chiddush HaMatzos, he wrote many, many prolific Gadol, prolific writer, prolific author, and he had perhaps even a more famous father. Rav Yaakov Emden Ben Tzvi, his father is well known, the Chacham Tzvi. Here in this yeshiva, people know the Chacham Tzvi, never heard of the fellow except for one thing. He held that you should, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you hold one day of Yom Tov. not Yom Tov Sheni Shegalias. A young man, he told me, Rabbi, my position is based on Haham Hui. That's how we called it, Haham Hui. Anyway, the Chacham Tzvi was one of the Gdolei Hador, father of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he's of the opinion that you hold one day Yom Tov Sheni, most don't agree with him. Whatever the case is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden quotes his father, namely, is this the end of Oz Yeshua not? So what did his father do? He would say, Ki Vosu's power brichu v'rashu l'ayam, without saying, Hashem Yimlach Yom Vod. He didn't want to make a statement that this is the end of Oz Yeshua. Obviously, he felt it wasn't the end. Sometimes people have, I'm not so familiar with it, but you probably are more familiar than I am. You go to the movies, and then it says, the end. Or fini. Is that what they do? You are not familiar with any movies. You just sit in the Torah all day and all night. Baruch Hashem. There are such people left like yourself. There's hope for us. For Klal Yisrael. I didn't really understand what Rabbi Schneider was talking about today. The entire shmooze was very foreign to me. He was speaking about these games and score. I didn't have a clue what he was referring to. Were you present?
I wasn't there.
How did you miss the shmooze of the century? You were preoccupied with Kiddushin. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, there are those who are annoyed like the Milne Gaon and don't say these last psukim. And there are those who are annoyed the way probably most of us are annoyed. Where's Yom Yenig Rabbi Yisrael Shlita?
To say that, I say that.
Yeah. Anyone here say, I assume most of us say what Kivas is Paro? Is that your practice as well? All of you? Okay. But I'm just alerting you to this, and then I want to mention something else. Notice at the bottom, I think all the Siddurim have it. You have it in your Siddur? In parentheses, it says after it's all over, Uvesoros no kasu leimor. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What in heaven's name is the nature of this? Do you say it? You do say it. Wow, you are a very pious Jew because you say whatever is written in the Siddur. Wow, if that's the case, do you say Slichus Bahab? That's written in the Siddur.
Probably not, considering what that is.
So you obviously are more selective than I thought you are. I thought you are a pious, devout Jew who says whatever it says in the Siddur.
What happens if he doesn't say it in your Siddur?
He doesn't say it in the Siddur.
He doesn't say it in the
Siddur. What's that? So that's the question, what is the status of that? So this is actually mentioned by Eliyahu Rabba, one of the great Gdolei Apostolim. He mentions this to Taras Lakasi Leimor. Why is that so? Does anybody know if this really is testing your knowledge, the Chlal of Siddur, or your knowledge of Tfilos? So I'll give you a hint. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Let's give you a better hint. Rosh Hashanah. We add the Shemoneh Esrei. Rosh Hashanah, three brachas. Normally there are how many brachas in every Yom Tov Tikkun Shemoneh Esrei? Shabbos? Seven. Correct? The first three, the last three, and Mekadosh HaShabbos on Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, Mekadosh HaSol Bazmanim. So seven brachas. But on Rosh Hashanah we add another three brachas. Which are the three, and what are they termed, and what are they called? Malchiel, Shabbos, and Shabbos. Excellent. So those brachas consist of three sections, each of the brachas. If you heard some of the Shurim or the Shira, Torah Shraga, so he discusses this many times on his Shurim. You can find that on that site, on the YU site. Anyway, so there you'll notice that he pointed out, I actually heard one of them, so I, and since I know him, so I fell over in his name what he said. So he said that each of these tefillos consists of three segments. One is the introductory paragraph that deals with the definition of terms, the glossary, table of content, index, that's the introduction to Malchut, same in Zichorot, same in Shofar. The middle has 10 psukim, three Torah, three Ksuvim, three Nevi'im, one Torah, each of the three sections. And the third section is the concluding chasima of the each of these three additional brachas. Okay? So in Malchut, the middle section has 10 psukim, three, 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 and one. Which is the one? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the last pasuk that's found in Malchus and Torah. Three Torah, three Ksuvim, three Nevi'im, one Torah. You got it? Rabbi Zussman?
Yeah.
Excellent. So therefore, the last one is from Torah. So it's interesting that here, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I mentioned a moment ago, his father was the Chacham Tzvi, so the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Siddur, just like in the Malchus Rosh Hashanah, what do? We are mashim with this pasuk in the Torah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So too, he says here also, we want to be mashim The Oz Yashiv from Pasim the Torah. And this is a fascinating thing, why that's so, why we do it. But anyway, this seems to be the practice of most of Klal Yisrael. However, it is clear the minhag of the Vilna Gaon was not the same. So the Vilna Gaon doesn't have this. He doesn't have the Kibosus Paro from then on. Nor does he have this pasuk as well. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And if I'm mistaken, Rabbi Yashiv, that Tzal did not say this pasuk. My minhag is not to say it. So I'll spell across the Leimar. Not that I follow every minhag agra. I don't follow every minhag agra. I follow many. But here I don't say this last pasuk with Saras Kasalema. But I think you indicated that you say it. Because you are a pious Jew.
Should I be saying it?
Who am I to tell you what to do?
The Rosh Hashiva.
You continue to do what you do, which is good. You do very good things. He's my Rebbe Mubar. So therefore, he does beautiful things. He has beautiful kashas. And gives me even beautiful pshatim. I've heard a number of times. Anyway, I do not say it. But if you said it, it's fine. There's no isa b'davar. Unquestionably, it's not something which is... I just mentioned, this is a very beautiful pasuk in general, Shema Yisrael. Why is it Malchiot? You know Malchiot? The theme, what's the theme of Malchiot? Malchiot has three dinim to it. Number one, the present reality, which is a sordid reality. Sordid means not of a very positive nature. Good segments of the world do not recognize the Almighty as being the sovereign, shall we say, autonomous being who directs traffic and navigates the shoals of what's happening in this universe. That's the first part of Malchut. The second part is that we meaning Klal Yisrael, recognize Hashem. But the hope, of course, is that what? That Hashem will become universally accepted by the entire world. As a matter of fact, that's all Tanakh and Bereishis, all the way to the end of the Bayon, which I assume you've studied. Anyway, so that's clear, that's the theme of Malchiyah. So this pasuk has it. According to Rashi and Chumash, Rashi and Dvarim, this pasuk is found in Dvarim. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem who is our God. Our God referring to whom? Klal Yisrael, because we accept Hashem. What is the hope? Hashem Echad, he'll become universally accepted as the God of the entire universe. So here the Tvei Dinim, dialectic, dichotomy, duality, found right here embedded in this pasuk. This is a brisker pasuk. Classic. No one smiles at me. Anyway, so good. So this is exactly the idea of Shema Yisrael. Now, I mentioned, since Derech Agav, I'm at it already, why not? On Shabbos, take a look on Shabbos for a moment. The Tzilos of Shabbos. Right after Oz Yashir, what he said? Page 208 on Nisi Durim, I don't know what it is in that pagination, the red one, what is it? Nishma is correct. Now, this is something very striking. Why do we add the Tzilos of Nishma on Shabbos? Here we have Tzilos of Zimra, it's over, and we start Nishtabach. On Shabbos, we add Tzilos of Zimra. We had to the Pesukah Dezim and Nishmas Kochai, which the Gemara calls him Tzachim Kofites Birchas Hashir. That's the term Nishmas is associated with Birchas Hashir. Why is that so? Because what do we have described in Nishmas? Anyone can tell me what exactly, can give me a precy of what's in Nishmas, what elements do you have over here, and the before should bring down, you should be in great Simcha. By the way, just Derech Agav, I mentioned to you while you're thinking about what the content of this Tefillah is all about. When I was a youngster, a year or two ago, still a youngster, I noticed the following. That the Baal Tefillah on Shabbos morning, you know where he began? Not where the practice today is to begin. Where does the Baal Tefillah of Shabbos begin today? Shochinat. Is that not so? In my days, he began with Nishmas. What does that indicate to us? It indicates something which is
Nishmas
pretty...
Nishmas is part of Shachar's.
No, well, what do you mean is part of what? No, is that part of Sukkot Dezimra, or is it connected to something else? Correct. More, no, you're every way imaginable except for what I want to hear. The answer is, though, that Yishtabach and Nishmas are connected. There is an integral relationship between Yishtabach and Nishmas, and that's how Absolomechi was knowing as well, and that's how the Bali Tzvila. I am serving as a soporific, even though I didn't mean to. I really did. But anyway, I told you I'm better than a soporific. Because soporific usually takes a few seconds to work. I seem to work instantaneously. That's a good sign. Anyway, I'm just saying that Nishmas and Yishtabach are integrally related. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why the minhag is the Balashakas of the year with Nishmas. I don't think I've seen it in many, many years. I'll be honest, I wanted to introduce this in a shul where I know the rub. But I felt it was too much. for the Balabatim. So I spoke to the Rebbe about it. I told him I didn't think it was a good idea. People would go berserk. They would go bananas. Is that the proper expression?
Yes.
They would have a cow. As they say down south. Do you have cows?
No.
Hashem. But they would have a cow. A veritable cow. They would implode. Self-implode. People can't handle, we say in the davening, Ose chadashos, val nochamos. You try to introduce something new, what do you have in your hand? A world war. A raging war, thank you. So therefore I decided, this is what I told the Rav of Mashul, that he should not do so. I didn't think it was a good idea. You know the Rav of Mashul?
Did he agree with you?
He was masking to me, the Rav Mashul. I picked him up in the ongoing conversations on a 24/7 basis. But he wanted to do it. So I thought he was, he basically was losing it. I told him not to. He does a lot of other funny things. Luckily, he speaks to me beforehand, so therefore we were able to be in tandem with each other. But anyway, this is a very fascinating thing. That Nishmas and Nishtabach are really intimately related. The truth of the matter is that you'll take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. You are familiar with the Chavetz Chaim, undoubtedly you are. So Mishnah Berurah has a Siman Nun Beis. Mishnah Berurah mentioned something very striking over there. Don't think this comes from nowhere, because you probably don't trust me. I don't blame you. Because you never heard of such a thing, did you? So here at Siman Nun Beis, Mishnah Berurah actually tells you the following. He quotes from the Chayyadah. He's telling you what you should do on Shabbos. That's a person. Here's the issue of a person coming late, which never happened to anyone in this classroom. Coming late to Dami, I cannot imagine. Anyway, so Kosar Chayyadah, B'Shabbos Yidalik HaMizmorim, what should you do on Shabbos when you come late to Shul? Skip the Mizmorim that normally are added on Shabbos. What Mizmorim are added on Shabbos? I'll get to that in Mitzvah Hashem in a few months. Anyway, what Mizmorim are added on Shabbos? Lamatzeach. Hashemayim Esavim Kol Kael, I think even where you daven, they also add these mizmorim, no? Ad Yichlo, that you should skip. And then, skip the mizmorim that were added for Shabbos, and then say the way you normally would say during the week, Yehem Tadirim, because those mizmorim are said on an ongoing basis. V'yem Yeh Shahub Yoteh, if you have more time, Yom HaLam HaTzeach, Uldam HaMashanoso, Tila Lemoshe, V'yem Kodim L'Shar Mizmorim, Od Kosa Chayodam, D'Beshabbos Mechuyil Loma Nishmas, there's a chiyuv to say what? Nishmas, even though you skip everything, with the exception of Baruch Shem Asher Yishtabach.
What about Chodin?
Thank you. I'm sorry?
What about Hodu? Didn't we say before
that? Well, Hodu, you must have, because we just had Thanksgiving, so you must have Hodu. You have to say Hodu. Hodu is very significant. Did you have a Hodu on Thanksgiving?
The yeshiva had a Hodu.
They had a Hodu. Did you say Hodu?
Hodu Shorma.
Okay, yeah. So can I just finish this point? I'll just finish it, Mr. Bruce. So the Chayyadim said to say Nishmas via Nikreis Vichas Hashir Umutav Sheyidalik Mizmorim V'imei Lo Shos Klal. He had no time. Just say Baruch Shama Ashrei Nishmas and Yishtabach. Hear this? Go ahead.
Do we return to say it again?
Later on it's Tadabi. So that's a very fascinating question in general, and the answer to that question is yes.
And also
according to many Potskim, Rav Soloveitchik has a lot of Chidushim regarding Tzibit Zimra, because Tzibit Zimra would seem to be there's a Seder to Tzilo, right? So once I already passed the Seder, it would seem maybe I would not be able to go back. But generally, Poskim Rav Meikle regarding that matter. Yeah.
During the week also?
Yes, the same thing. You should try not to come late if you can. But even I come late from time to time, and I actually, the Rabbi Mashul sometimes comes late, and I really give him Musa of the Seder. You should be coming late. It's not a good model for the, shall we say, the people of the Shul. And there's no reason why you should come late, the rabbi. I spoke to him. Why is he coming late? He gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning, he told me. So why is he coming late for? Yes?
I guess the very different to the question has just been bothering me.
Yes?
Marit. V'ne'emar kiva da Hashem et Yaakov u'gu'elo mi'ad chazak imenu baruch ata Hashem ga'al Yisrael.
Yes?
I always thought that Yisrael meant Klal Yisrael, but based on context, it seems much more reasonable to say that Yisrael means Yaakov, because we're speaking about how Hashem saved.
Not only based on context, that's what it refers to. It refers to Yaakov. Now the question you're asking is a very good question. My father Hashem was very troubled by this question. Everyone familiar with what we are talking about?
Yes.
V'ne'emar, ki fada Hashem es Yaakov, u'go'olom Yaakov z'gimeno, Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. And of course, the answer is the Gemara and the Bracha at the end of the first paragraph. What does the Gemara say?
That we interchange between Yaakov.
The two names are used interchangeably. Which names are not used interchangeably?
Abraham.
I'm saying the davening also. Kalakore li Abraham Abram over Baase. Shenema Ato Hashem Elokim Hashavacharta bi Abram. Voltesim Yerukasim Besapta Shmo Abraham. Says the Gemara. If you go ahead and call Abraham by the name Abram, you're over Baase. Because the word Abraham refers to universal father of all mankind, the Mishnah Bikurim. And Abram is Ab Shel Aram, more parochial, localized, marginalized. And we have the Abram that is, of course, the universal father of all mankind. Good. So now, Yaakov Yisrael, that's not true. One of the favorite topics at Mefarshim, this looks like this way. Thank you. One of the favorite topics of Mefarshim is, when is the Shem Yaakov used in Tanakh and when is the Shem Yisrael? There are many theories on this. It needs a few shiurim to discuss the different approaches of Mefarshim. But I would answer your question and I thought you would answer it yourself. I'm just trying to give you opportunity to answer it while I'm talking. And that is, there are two different bechinos. One is called Yaakov, one is called Yisrael. Which one would you say is the ideal bechino, and which one is the lesser of the ideal of these two bechinos? Yisrael is the
better one, because he was given it after.
When? Given when? What was the name change of Yaakov to Yisrael?
After he fought with the angel.
After he fought with the angel. As a matter of fact, if you look carefully in the Torah, which I'm sure you do, you will notice that until that point in time, that Hashem doesn't really speak directly to Yaakov. It's very indirect, b'chalom, all kinds of other ways. Once his name is changed, it's a direct interchange, and Yaakov Avinu's entire life is transformed. There's an article about this in the Sefer that should be coming out shortly, and maybe you'll read it. The rabbi, you might sure, wrote the Sefer, and he actually wrote about this topic. Anyway, just to make a long story short, many hold that Yaakov is the Bechina of Golos, represents Golos. And that's why Kifad Hashem is Yaakov. Here there are two verbs here. One is Pinyon, one is Geula. We say in the davening also, yes, since you have to believe it, the davening that we say right before, actually, in the Shachris, at the end of, right before the Shemoneh Esrei, we say, this is interesting, what's the difference in Pinyon and Geula? This needs a lot of discussion. I can't do it right now, but I'm just pointing out to you the reason of the two names, since you asked the question, even though it has no connection to what I'm talking about. Kifat Hashem is Yaakov, named from Golos. Ugeola, Geula and Pinyon are two different concepts. Pinyon is a more of a local concept. Geula already is a Geulas Olam, a Netzach concept. And that's why it says Baruch Hashem Gual Yisrael, because Yisrael is the ideal name, as Yisrael mentioned. That's why he's called Yisrael, because it's the ideal name. And there's a passage in the Navi, as you probably are familiar. V'hoya he'akov v'mishor. It's one of the Haftarahs. Don't let them disturb you. The Rabbi Mashul spoke about the Haftarahs for a number of years. That's why I'm familiar with this. Anyway, it says V'hoya he'akov v'mishor. The akov, that which was Lo Yaakov Yomer Chimcha, says Rashi, it will no longer be said that the Brahmins came to you Birimia Ubeikva. They didn't come to you how? Through deceit and through duplicity, but rather Yashar, they came to you now directly. So Yaakov has the element of what? Yodo Ochezes Ba'keveso. Beginning, you told us this week's Pasha. You recall that?
I haven't done Schneider yet.
You haven't, but you heard Rabbi Schneider speak. That's and true. You quoted the Psukim. Anyway, the kids are. So that's why it says first, Kifat Hashem as Yaakov from Golos, and then God Yisrael, the ultimate Geula of Mashiach. That's the answer to that question, even though it has no connection to what I'm talking about. But anyway, I was decided, since you are such a sweet person, I have to respond to you as best I can. But let me just get back to my point, the last point I was making, which was Nishmas. Nishmas and Yishabach are connected. And the Chayyadim Paskin, the Shabur, calls us in the days, Ey Ledale, you should not skip. Amiras Yishabach, that's what he writes. On the contrary, you cannot, on Shabbos, say Yishabach without preceding it with what? Nishmas, and that also is what the Vilna Gaon passes. The Gaon says based on the Gemara Pesachim there, you know that Gemara. The Gemara Navi Pesachim, the Gemara points out Kuf Yudches. Nishmas is Birchas Hashir, and even though it's true the Bi'alocha says in Hilchos Shabbos, he points out that if you skip it, he says you have to go back. But Mistabra, that till a person said Baruch Atah Hashem Kel Melech Gadol Batish Brachos, you should go back to Nishmas and say it Lefi HaSeder. So I'm just trying to show you the organic nexus, Ionic bonding between what and what? Yishabach and Nishmas. So the two come together. So we actually covered a lot of ground today. Have you noticed that? Even though it's only a half hour. But you'd be surprised what could be accomplished in a half hour. You could become a Gola Batera in a half hour. How? Don't waste any of your half hours. There was a great Gola Yerushalayim with that end, Rav Bengis, was one of the Gola Yerushalayim, lived 75 years ago. So he made a Siyam HaShas. A week later, he called for another Siyam. He said, what, in 1 week you finished all Shas? You just made a Siyam HaShas. So he answered, no, the second Siyam was all the 5 minutes that I had here between this one and that one, and that meeting and this meeting, and this commitment and that commitment, you should use the 5 minutes wisely. And we all gathered all those 5 minutes, finally came together, and it was the same Shas. Just the 5 minutes, see him shots of all the Sakakola 5 minutes.
What was the Rav's name?
Yeah. Rav Bengis.
Rav Bengis.
From the Dolly Oyla. Going out to Shenkalal. I'm not even worthy of walking on the same ground that he walked on. But you, Mitz Hashem, hopefully will become worthy of it. By not wasting a moment of your time and trying to do everything as expeditiously as you possibly can. What was the nature of that? Okay. Tomorrow.